This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Yes, indeed. It is the Friday edition of the Diehards, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East here in Boston. Anthony Pepe hanging out with my friend tonight. It's Matt McCarthy from 98.5, the Sports Hub, doing double duty today. I know you were in the minors earlier with Thugger and Maz. So welcome to the big leagues, buddy.
I'll tell you what. When I walk into the Pepe compound, it feels like the big leagues.
This is quite the setup
here you have, Pep, in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. So it's good to be here with you, man.
I appreciate that, man. So you did 4 hours with Thugger and Maz today here in Boston on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and you were on Comcast on TV. So you're a big radio and TV star now. You signing autographs?
Yeah, you better believe it. There's nothing I hate more than television. There's a reason why I got into radio. First and foremost, this face is designed for radio, but I don't want to have to worry about where the camera is. I just want to sit here, talk to you, have fun, BS about sports, all that stuff. That's what we're going to do tonight.
We're going to have a fun show tonight. And again, I know you, as I'm joking, you were on that show with the 19th share in the afternoon here in Top 10 Market in Boston. Well, this show has like a 40 share, just to set the record straight. So you, again, we're setting the bar pretty high here, man.
We're huge. I'm telling you.
We are huge in Elmira.
Huge in Elmira. That's a spot near and dear to my heart. I went to school out there in that general area.
All right.
So no, it's good to be talking to everybody tonight, and we've got a lot to get into. You know, I just decided to parachute in at a time in the sports calendar, even during our global pandemic, where we actually have things to talk about. Because for the last 2 and 3 months, I don't think we've had much to talk about. Tonight, we've got a ton to talk about.
Did you talk to yourself a lot on the Sports Hub in the last couple of months about nothing?
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of talking into the ether. So, boy, the world's going to be great when it gets back to normal, huh? Stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk some NASCAR on the program. Obviously, some hot topics going on in the world of NASCAR. Bob Pockrass will join us from Fox Sports. He'll join us on the Progressive Guest Line. Marty Moore, Super Bowl champ of the Pats, he'll join us on the Progressive Guest Line. Rick Horrell, the sports professor. Dr. Football will join us. We'll do a Beantown rundown. But coming up next, you're a baseball guy. We're doing baseball next.
Dive into it.
It is the Diehards, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Again, my friend tonight is Matt McCarthy from 98.5, the Sports Hub here in Boston. I'm on Twitter at Anthony Pepe. It's Anthony P-E-P-E. You can follow the show at Diehards Radio. Obviously, follow our network, SB Nation Radio. And Matt, you are at Matt McCarthy 985
right
on Twitter, so be sure to follow us. So again, we're going to be talking some NASCAR later on in the program with our guest from Fox Sports, Bob Pockrass. We've had him on the program before. Obviously, the situation going on with the banning of the Confederate flag, huge news, lots of stuff to talk about there. So throughout the show, Matt, because I know you're a big NASCAR guy.
Huge. You know it.
I'm going to give you some terms throughout the show, then I want you to tell me what they mean. So, and we're going to get into baseball here because I know you're a baseball guy. But the first NASCAR term I want to throw at you is dirty air. What does that mean, by the way, in NASCAR terms? I know you know this stuff.
Oh, you better believe it. No, I mean, I watch every single NASCAR match.
NASCAR matches. Okay, yes.
Yeah, NASCAR match.
Okay.
NASCAR race. You know exactly where I stand. I'm up in Laconia every week.
Yep.
You know, catching as many races as I possibly can.
Matches.
Tennis match.
Yes.
NASCAR match. What is it?
Boxing
is it?
Matches.
Yeah.
And NASCAR race. Matches.
UFC match.
All right,
you know?
So dirty air. What is it?
Dirty air. I'm going to say that is when You are drafting on another car, but you're not getting a good draft.
Oh, you used the drafting.
Oh, how about that?
Drafting was one of my terms, dude.
I played Need for Speed Underground as a kid. I know what drafting is.
Dirty air is the messed up air created by the lead car. It is generally harder to handle or steer a race car when it's in dirty air.
Ooh.
Some race cars will...
I was close.
...will be set up to run good clean air when in the lead, and some will run better in dirty air. So you clean air, dirty air. I mean, what are you?
Catching the draft. Oh, dirty air. You better believe that.
Okay.
No, but you're catching the draft off that lead car. I'm telling you, I was close, Pep.
Dude, you're talented, man.
I'm going to surprise you.
It's amazing how talented you are, and you know about NASCAR matches. I mean, it's just
huge,
awesome.
Huge. Nobody knows more NASCAR matches than I.
But what you do know about is baseball. And first and foremost, are we going to see baseball this year? I still don't believe it's going to happen. I've talked in this program for weeks. I've talked with Mark Linehan and some other co-hosts and our guests. My take is there are too many variables involved, and there's just too much stuff that's going on in the world and with the pandemic and everything else going on. I just don't see it happening from that standpoint, Matt. But I also feel like the players are still far apart. The owners are still far apart. I get it. I've always said, you know, Manny Pacquiao, Mayweather, when that fight took 2-3 years to happen, there was too much money involved. It was $100, $200, $300 million. It had to happen. There's a lot of money involved in baseball, but there's too many moving parts. I don't see it happening. Your take?
I think it happens.
Okay.
I think it happens in a world where sports are happening, which, by the way, I'm not necessarily convinced we're going to be in that
world.
My
daughters had their first softball practice today, so sports started, is happening.
Sports are, they're happening until we start to see cases go up, and then how many players are going to get sick, and like, let's not work under the assumption that when these leagues restart, they're actually going to be able to restart, or they're going to be able to continue their season through the end of the year. Like, but in a world where sports are happening, I think baseball does happen.
Okay.
The question is, who's going to be playing? The owners and the commissioner have the right to implement a 48-game, 50-game season, something like that, based on their agreement.
Commissioner Manfred said 100% they're playing baseball this year.
They're playing baseball. So that is the question. The owners and the commissioner will eventually unilaterally implement a 2020 season.
So there will be baseball matches.
There will be definitely be baseball matches. There will be many points scored in those baseball matches.
Okay.
All of those things. All of those
Fair
things.
Enough.
Who plays, though? Do the players go on strike? Are there a number of big name players who say, "No, I'm good.
I have enough money.
If I'm Mookie Betts and I'm looking at a $400 million contract, you know, next offseason or whatever it may be in the, you know, global economy 2021 post global pandemic, who knows? But if I'm Mookie Betts or if I'm a big name free agent and I've got a lot of money staring me in the face, why would I play a 40 or 50 game season? What if I tear my knee up?" Like, it's one thing if you're playing a full season, that's fine. But you can just say, "Nah, it's August. I'm going to sit this one out. See you later." That's what I think will happen.
Will happen with a lot of players.
Absolutely.
But what about the pandemic? And they say, "You know what? I don't want to risk myself right now."
And that's fine. You know what? If a player comes out and they are legitimately using health and safety as the reason for not playing, I'm not going to sit here and crush them. I think, you know, just in the world in general, if you don't feel comfortable going back into your office just yet, or if you don't feel comfortable in playing your sport just yet, I get it. I understand it. Now, if you're using health and safety as a pawn, if you're using health and safety the way that the players have used it, like Blake Snell in his comments, well, no, I'm not playing.
I signed a contract. You're paying me what I signed for.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Why would I go play in a global pandemic? Well, unless I get mine. If I get my full contract, well, that's fine.
Pandemic, schmandemic.
Well, then don't bring up the health and safety element. Mm-hmm. Like, it shouldn't matter. The money shouldn't matter if we're talking legitimately about the safety and the well-being of the players, their families. Like, If there's a player out there who says, "You know what, my wife has a pre-existing condition or whatever, I don't want to play,"
I have a young kid at home or young kids at home, I don't want to put them at risk. I respect that. I understand that. I think that's going to happen too.
I do. I absolutely do. But I've got a problem with the players saying, "Okay, health and safety, we're concerned about it. Oh, but if we get 100% prorated salaries, we're back." Same can be said for the owners. Like Ken Kendrick, the owner of the Arizona Diamondbacks, came out last week and said, "Well, you know, we don't want to play into November because we're concerned about the health and safety of the players." No, you're not. You're concerned about the season going into November, a second wave happening, and then your playoffs don't happen, and then you lose all that money. Yep. Don't use health and safety as an excuse, because there are people out there who will legitimately need to use that reason for the reason they're not coming to the ballpark. Umpires, front office members, players, you name it. Like, that's legitimate. The rest of this negotiating stuff, it's a bunch of crap. Like, if you're a baseball fan, you should be disgusted by the way that this has all gone down. Now is the time, in a global pandemic with the economy going to hell in a handbasket, now is the time that you think it's the appropriate time to start up this labor war that's been brewing in baseball for the last few years. The average American, the average baseball fan, the average sports fan looks at this and says, millionaires versus billionaires, screw both of you. Really? And that's how you should look at it.
And the game loses.
Of course the game loses.
And it'll be a shame if that happens. But again, I just think there's too many variables that for this to happen. And maybe these rosters are going to be bigger now, 25-man rosters. Mm-hmm. They're going to be 30, 32 maybe,
right,
because you need more players because of what's happening, you know, going on now. And you need extra players to come off the bench and whatnot, extra pitchers, if you will. So now you have more players. You need your training staff. You need your coaching staff. You need your PR staff. Minimal. You're not going to have the 10 or 15, but you're going to have 4 or 5.
How about the camera guy putting the game on television? Stuff like that.
All that stuff. So you're still talking about a lot of people involved in a small area. You can't separate everybody.
Right.
It's not like, again, I made the comment about my daughter started softball today. Well, the rules are there are going to be 3 girls on the bench, the next 3 that are up at bat, and then all the other girls have to sit behind the bench in their own chairs, separated 6 feet apart with masks on. MLB's not going to do that.
No way.
First of all, you can't facilitate that. You don't have the room to do that in all these clubhouses. It's impossible.
It's completely impossible. And that's why I said, if sports happen in 2020, because I know we're talking about the NBA and their plan to go into the bubble, and Kyrie Irving's got a problem with that, and it sounds like a lot of big name players have
Kyrie
a problem
Irving
with that.
Sucks. We can, a problem with everything.
Hey, listen, we've got a 2-hour show tonight. We can get into that. Yeah, and Kyrie Irving is not the guy that you want making that argument. You don't want Kyrie Irving anywhere near anything, whether he's right or wrong.
Tell you what, Kyrie,
so
go away, then don't play.
Exactly.
Beat it.
That's fine. But think about it. All right, so the NHL wants to come back. That's a high contact sport.
Yep.
I mean, we're here in Boston. A Bruins player tested positive for COVID-19. Now he's since had 2 negative tests. But what if that guy is out there? He checks 3 guys on a shift or whatever. 2 of those 3 guys get, like, I think we got to the point where it's like, oh, sports are coming back. That's fine. I'm not making that assumption yet.
And you're hearing John Harbaugh from the Baltimore Ravens talking about the guidelines for the NFL, and he's like, it's impossible.
Of course it is.
It is impossible. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't separate. Yeah, we're going to do our best, he says, to separate intents and all the guidelines that the NFL has drawn to pull this off. But he's saying it's impossible. And I think a lot of coaches feel this way. A lot of people feel this way. I just don't see it happening. I really don't.
And you know what the frustrating part is, Pep? Baseball is uniquely positioned, you know, going back to my favorite sport here, baseball is uniquely positioned to be the social distancing sport. How many times do you end up within 6 feet of somebody on a baseball diamond? Not really. All right, the catcher is going to be there. That's fine. But you're rounding the bases, like, whatever. This is not football. This is not a contact sport. This is not, you know, basketball or hockey. Baseball is, of the 4 major sports, theoretically the most well-positioned to operate in a world of social distancing.
So
they can't get their act in gear.
No,
that is absurd.
No spitting, no seeds, no gum. Are you telling me these players are going to play baseball without gum and seeds? Stop. they're all going to do it. Stop.
Gum, seeds, tobacco,
everything.
You name it.
Come on. They're going to play their game. They're going to high-five. They're going to do their thing if they play. And then what happens if Trouty tests,
right?
Trout tests positive.
What happens if anybody tests positive?
If anybody, 3 people test on 1 team positive,
right?
Well, you shut down the team. Then what do you do? It messes up the schedule,
right? Oh,
what do you do?
And go back to what the NBA did. But by the way, rightfully so, Rudy Gobert was patient zero. Rudy Gobert tested positive. Season done. Season, you know, postponed.
Bye-bye.
Whatever. Whatever. Now, obviously, I don't think we're going to approach that. I mean, we're certainly not going to approach that in any of these major sports. But, I mean, players are going to test positive. So, you know, let's see about that.
All right. Well, we'll do some more baseball on the program because I have lots to talk about. We're going to do some baseball questions coming up next. We have the highest rated segment here on the Diehards. I mean, it's like we're talking about 19 cheers, like you used to on the show you were on today with Father Maz. It's called the Beantown Rundown, and you and I are going to play that next. He is Matt McCarthy from 98.5 The Sports Hub. My name is Anthony Pepe. We are the Diehards. You're locked in to SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Now time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
My friend tonight is Matt McCarthy. And when I met on the Cape, working for a cluster of radio stations on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, Matt is from 98.5, the Sports Hub. And Matt, I know you're a big hot sauce guy.
Oh, yeah.
Hillside Harvest loves the Beantown Rundown.
Yes.
Take your meals to the next level, Matt, with Hillside Harvest and their delicious hot sauces. Made from all natural ingredients and packed with bold and unique flavors, these hot sauces are like nothing you've had before. Inspired by Caribbean, or as Linehan likes to say, Caribbean, and American influences, Hillside Harvest sauces will pair well with anything from jerk chicken to clam chowder. Check out all Hillside Harvest has to offer, hillsidesauce.com. And I know you drove here, and you have to drive back to the Cape, but I really need you to pay attention to your battery in your car.
Okay.
Because when your battery goes dead, everything
it's not good.
Could come to a stop, and then you're screwed. You're driving down 24 or 495 here in Massachusetts, trying to get home to lovely Cape Cod, and you can't get there. But you don't want to take that chance on being stranded, so O'Reilly Auto Parts will tear your battery for free. Why wouldn't you go see them, right? If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, Beantown Rundown. Here's how it works, Mr. Matt McCarthy. I throw five random sports questions at you. I throw some mostly softballs here.
Give me the hard stuff here.
No, I'm throwing these softballs.
Did I tell the bartender? Come on,
there you go. There you go. You know, I want the listening audience in Lake Charles to get a sense of what you're all about. All right?
The people want to know.
Correct.
That's what they...
Correct. So question number one, your favorite baseball player ever, now, and your most hated baseball player. That is question one here at the Beantown Rundown.
Move on.
Well, you got to wait. I go through the questions.
Oh, you go through the questions.
Yes.
Oh,
see, I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to do that. Jesus, okay. NASCAR match guy.
So you know, here's the thing. So now I need to write down the questions so I don't forget them. God,
take
this
your
is
time.
Tough. All right.
Favorite baseball player ever, kid.
Yes.
And then I want to know your favorite baseball player now, and then I want you to know the most hated baseball player. Question two, Beantown Rundown here with the Diehards, SB Nation Radio. Best game you ever attended. Now, I know you've been to a lot of sporting events. How old are you again?
29.
All right, you're 29, so you're getting up there in age. You're catching up to me. No, not really.
I'm going to catch up someday,
Pat. I hate you right now, 29 years old. Screw you. All right, well, best game ever attended. Question three, Beantown Rundown. What sport do you least like covering? So again, you were on with Felger and Maz today. That show that is, I don't know, 19 share rating. They're pretty good in top 10 market Boston. Blah, 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 blah. Now you're in the big leagues here with the Diehards and Anthony Pepe at SB Nation Radio. I want to know when you're on the airwaves and you're talking sports doing the Matt McCarthy program, what is the sport that you have to cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the sport that you least like talking about of the majors? Question four, your dream job. I know you're living it.
Yep.
But there's got to be something else out there. Something, is it a play-by-play gig? Is there something out there that you would say, oh my God, this would be the ultimate, you know, when you're a spring chicken like me at 47 years old. I know you're only 29. When you really, you know, mature and get an understanding of this business. Like me. What is that ultimate pinnacle? What is that gig?
So you mean when I turn and understand this business, so I say, let me get out of it?
Yeah. No, don't get out of it. You're doing fine, buddy. You keep it up. I just need you to smile a little bit more on Comcast TV. I mean, you don't smile that much.
I'll do what I can.
Come on, smile a little bit more, dude.
Show those pearly whites.
You're talking sports, kid. All right, question five. Best Cape Cod League memory. So you were the play-by-play for the Cape Cod League. We'll get into that. I want to know your best Cape Cod League memory. So let's get back to question number one. Favorite baseball player ever. I want to know your favorite player now, and then the guy that you just, ugh.
All right, Mo Vaughn. If you grew up,
I love Mo Vaughn.
If you grew up in Boston at that time, you idolized Mo Vaughn.
The hit dog.
The hit dog. You know, you got that. You got that big kind of burly batting stance, and he could hit the ball a country mile.
Yes, he could. I got the fortunate to meet him a few times, and we did a couple of events together. And he actually came to the studio back at that old radio station we used to work at, and he gave me his tips on after he would go to, down to Providence, Rhode Island, at the Foxy Lady, how he would recover the next night.
Yeah,
a lot of Gatorade. He said.
Oh yeah, a lot of Gatorade. That's another childhood memory.
Yes.
Waking up and seeing the Boston Globe and seeing Mo Vaughn on the cover of the Boston Globe.
With his car flipped over on 95.
Yep. That was an educational moment for a youngin, 4 or 5 years old, whatever.
He was awesome, though.
Mo was the
MVP.
Best, great guy and doing a lot of good. In the community.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So who's the guy now that must watch for Matt McCarthy?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily must watch, but I just think he's such a solid, spectacular ball player at Xander Bogaerts. And I watched him in the minor leagues, and I just think he's so smooth. He's such a good hitter. I really, really enjoy watching Xander Bogaerts. Now, this is the good one. I had a lot of options here. But the one that the player that I absolutely hated the most, Jorge Posada. If you were a Red Sox fan,
he was a punk. Yep.
And you know what? That guy never squared the ball up once.
Yep.
Did that guy ever hit the ball on the barrel? It was these little bleeders. Nobody could get a killer bloop hit like Jorge Posada. That guy, I hated that guy. Ugh.
Matt McCarthy, Anthony Pepia, diehards, SB Nation Radio. Question 2, Beantown Rundown. Best game you ever attended?
John Lester's no hitter. That was pretty cool. It's not the best game I ever attended, though. And this is the game I'm about to mention. This is the game I'm always going to remember attending. Tom Brady's final game in New England. I was there, you know, in January when the Patriots lost that game.
Did you shed a tear?
It was raining, so nobody could determine.
So it wasn't dusty in there.
No. But it was, listen, that's you'll always be able to say I was at Tom Brady's final game.
For the record, he's going to stink this year.
I don't buy that one bit. We can get into that later on.
We will. All right, what sport do you least like covering when you're doing your sports gig on 98.5?
This is easy, basketball in the NBA, and it has nothing to do with the sport. The problem is...
We're watching a great game right now.
I enjoy the sport of basketball.
1986, Celtics, Houston, is this game 4?
Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of basketball. I just hate that we don't talk about the actual games. The NBA, that product is more about the off-season product than the on-season product, than the in-season product.
Okay.
So that's the problem with, like, when you're talking about the NBA playoffs...
Playoffs?
It's really not that good a product. It's not competitive. You know what we're talking about during the NBA playoffs? We're talking about July 1. We're talking about free agency. And I enjoy that. But when it comes to talking about the actual sport, I think there's a big difference between talking about the on-field product, say, in football or hockey, compared to basketball.
I'm surprised you went with basketball. I knew it was going to be baseball because we know that's your favorite, and it can't be football. I thought it was going to be hockey for you.
I love hockey.
Okay.
I love hockey. And listen, I love basketball, too. But again, I can sit there and we can break down a Stanley Cup playoff game. We're not going to sit there and we're not going to break down an NBA playoff game. Why? Because we're talking about where this guy is going, who's looking for real estate here, who was courting who at the All-Star game. That's the problem I have with the NBA. I just want to talk about the sport. I don't care about the drama. I don't care where Kyrie and Kevin Durant are going. Who cares? A lot of people, but not me.
Question 4, your dream job, the ultimate gig for Matt McCarthy. When you're doing your job, you're doing your thing. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
How about general manager of the Boston Red Sox? If there's a sports fan out there who doesn't want to be the general manager of a team, that's why we play franchise mode in Madden, right?
It's a curveball that I was expecting that one.
No. I mean, who wouldn't want to be the general manager of your favorite team or something like that? I think ask any sports fan out there, whatever team you're a fan of, you'd want to try calling the shots, wouldn't you? You'd want to try making a trade. You want to try drafting a guy. You want to try that? Of course you would. Give me that.
I figured it was going to be a play-by-play gig or something.
Hey, listen, I love play-by-play.
All right.
But hey, if I had the opportunity to be GM, I'm a GM of any sports team.
All right.
That'd be pretty cool.
How about a NASCAR match?
Oh, GM of a NASCAR team.
Yes,
They've got teams.
They have
Pepe.
Pit crews. I mean, you look like a pit crew NASCAR guy.
Oh yeah, nobody could change a tire faster than me.
Question 5: Your best Cape Cod League memory. You call games quickly. We have a minute left here. Yep. You call games for a war again. Whom?
Born.
Okay, so best memory.
All right. Scout came up. He said, oh, you know, this Aaron Judge guy. I said, yeah, Judge, he's just a 6'7 stiff. I don't think he's very good. I said that to a scout.
You said that about Judge.
I said that about Aaron Judge to a scout. That's what I said. I said, Judge, really? You have him ranked that high? No. So that's memory that sticks out to me. So clearly I know what I'm talking about.
What was he like down there? Was he just an absolute beast?
He was fine. He wasn't anything. You know, he was a good player. He wasn't spectacular. That's why I said, you're overrating him. You just think it's the body. Turns out it's more than that.
Hey, entertainment question that's never entertaining. Quickly here, if you could go back to school, what would you study?
How about history?
Why?
I feel like in this time,
right,
we need to understand our history.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's too serious an answer for you.
Too political and too serious for me, man. Come on.
Let's never do that again.
All right, please. All right, quick TO. When we return, we're going to switch gears, talk some football with Dr. Football, John Saronidis. He is next on the Progressive Guest Line.
The diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
I don't have many friends, but my friend tonight is Matt McCarthy from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Again, he did some rinky-dink show earlier today on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Felger and Maz on Comcast All Throughout New England and 7,000 channels, and the radio show pulls a 19 share. But this is the big leagues now, and welcome finally to the big leagues, buddy.
It's good to be here. I'm glad to be among the anointed of your friends. We'll see. Hey, you know, you never know how a radio show can go. By 10
True.
O'clock tonight Eastern, we might not be friends. We'll find out.
All right. And my other friend is in Houston, Andrew Carlson, running Rock and Roll Control. How you doing, buddy? I haven't checked in with you yet. You doing all right today?
Yeah, we're doing well. Right. Some stuff we can talk about off the air, but things are happening down here at the SB Nation Radio Studios Houston, which are not ideal.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll get into that after the program then. And by the way, you know, our next guest is getting screwed. He's a regular. He's on the program. We do the show Thursday and Friday nights. I know he comes in and co-hosts with me as well. But he should have his own open, shouldn't he? Dr. Football, don't you think he deserves his own open?
I did my best. So. I gave him an NFL theme song.
Yeah, you did. No, you did fine. We're going to get the production crew, and that's on me, man. But I just think that the guy's been on for so long, I think he deserves the voice guy going, and now, hey, Matt, you do it.
And now, Dr. Football, John Saronidis.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that. Matt's got that intro voice there, that demo voice.
Yeah, I know. I sound like Minnie Mouse. I get it. Okay, shut up.
Hey, I told you that 20 years ago. I haven't said it since. So I'm a good friend.
Hey, Doc. John Harbaugh comes out and says the NFL's current coronavirus guidelines are, and I quote, impossible. Is he right?
Well, I think he's right from the standpoint that, again, if you go based on the CDC recommendations, which you'd have to think that that's part of their thought process is following these guidelines, then, yeah, they are impossible. Look, no matter what these leagues do, they're not going to make everybody happy. You're seeing it now in the NBA where there's this group of players that are saying they wish they had more of a voice, and they're not necessarily on board with it. Kyrie Irving is unsure if they should even play, even though he's not going to play. But, yeah, I mean, look, you're going to have people that are unhappy with the process. They're going to be unhappy with the results. And so at the end of the day, I'm not surprised that a high-profile coach like that has come out and said, hey, you know what, this may not work. We might want to revisit this.
Doc Football, NFL coming out in recent days and kind of outlining their plans for training camp. It sounds like they want training camp to pretty much start across the league at about the same time. You think that's realistic, though? Like in this current environment, do you think we're going to have teams that are going to be scrambling to get their training camps up and running?
I mean, I think honestly, Matt, I think it's realistic at this moment. But you're starting to see these surges now take place around the country in places that opened up 2-3 weeks ago, a month ago. Now you're starting to see more cases. So I think that is going to have an effect on it. Depending on where we are after the 4th of July, will determine whether or not these camps get off on time. Now, again, I think that's the league's goal, is to start training camp on time with modifications, obviously, and see what happens. But logistically, if they don't for whatever reason or there's a lot of restrictions, man, it's going to be hard. You know, we talked about this last night, about some of the difficulties that these coaching staffs are going to face in terms of their players being prepared because they haven't had an off season. They haven't been at the facility. So, again, there's so many different parts that have to be figured out before training camp gets here. But as it stands right now, a lot of it, I think, will depend on what direction this virus takes as we get into July.
By the way, we are on the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Friend of the show, he co-hosts with us. He's a regular guest, Dr. Football, John Saronitis from the New England Football Journal and rotoplanner.com. Hey, Doc, I'm curious to get your take on Dez Bryant. Why is this guy not on an NFL roster? Last time he played with the Cowboys was in 2017, I believe. What's the deal?
Well, he's a prima donna who doesn't produce at a high level anymore. That's why he's not on an NFL roster. It's really that simple. He's too much of a headache. And look, I know that that may seem simplistic, but that's the reality. We're talking about a receiver who's entering his mid-30s, who hasn't been productive at the level that we were accustomed to seeing him produce now in 6 or 7 years. So I think a lot of it is his personality. He's a big personality. He's a guy who demands the ball. And at the end of the day, wide receiver is a rich position in terms of talent in football. You can find a wide receiver pretty much in any round of the draft. You can bring in a veteran free agent who's younger than him who could produce at the level that he would produce right now. So I think a lot of teams are probably looking at a player like him, and while they like the physical tools, he's in shape, he'd be able to walk into camp and compete for playing time, I don't think they want the baggage that comes with him, and that baggage is his personality. He's just too demanding in that way.
Doc, you're the perfect person to settle this argument. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be pretty good this year. Anthony Pepe over here thinks they're going to be awful.
Tom Brady's going to tear his Achilles and he's done game two.
Wow, you sound like a bitter ex over there. Come on, Doc, you got to settle this. Are the Bucs going to be good, yes or no? And I know which way you're going on this because you know football.
I'm Team McCarthy on this one, man. I'm with you all the way.
Blah, 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 blah.
Look, listen. First of all, let me just say this. I drank the Browns Kool-Aid last year and
still
it in my face. So, admittedly, for someone who's been in this business for a long time and has talked football for a long time, shame on me for drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm all in on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am drinking this Kool-Aid. I'm not sipping it. I'm chucking it. And I'll tell you why. Because if Tom Brady's healthy, I still think the top 10 quarterback in this league. The pieces are there for him to succeed. Their offensive line and their running game is better than people think. But the biggest reason why I think this team can win 10 to 12 games possibly, and I think that's their ceiling 12, but 10 and 6 is more realistic. The reason why I think they can get there is their defense. This is one of the best front sevens in football. And I think that defense is going to be a big reason why not only are they a playoff team, but I think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I don't care if you don't like that, Anthony Pepe. The truth hurts, my friend, and that's the truth.
10 to 12 wins. I'm glad I'm not drinking right now because if I were drinking, I would have spit it up right now and I would have wasted some of my delicious craft beer. Because
mind you, listen. My analysis comes with caveats. You know that. I told you last year the Browns could be good if Freddie Kitchens didn't coach like a first-year coach.
And he was an absolute disaster, and the team underachieved, and Mayfield was a disaster. The team was terrible.
And the Bucs have none of that, Pat.
I keep hearing about these Bucs, yet the last three seasons, Bruce Arians, the super coach, is 22-25-1. Three games under 500. They're basically a 500 team the last 3 years. Under his coaching tutelage, Doc, please help me out. Please tell me that this Tampa Bay coaching staff can coach this team to the big game, because I don't see it.
But here's the thing with football, and more so than any other
sport. Byron Leftwich calling the plays for Tom Brady? Come on.
I could call the plays for Tom Brady. He'd be fine, Pep.
It's the ultimate talent game. And you guys know that when you have talent, you're a better coach. It's just that simple in any sport, but especially football. So he's going to have a lot to work with. Now, you do make a valid point about Byron Leftwich calling the plays. Brady's a big relationship guy. He doesn't have a relationship with him like he did with Josh McDaniels. That could be an issue, but I think they're going to work through that. And I think as long as he plays within their structure, and as long as he continues to play at a high level, I think there's too many other pieces around him that are too good for them to not at least go 10-6 and be a wild card team.
So sticking in that division, Doc, who do you have? I mean, you just said they can at least go 10-6 and be a wild card team. Can they push the Saints to win that division?
7-9.
But I think they can.
6-10.
I think they can too. I don't think they will. I think New Orleans is a better team all around, but they absolutely can push them. And we'll find out week one. But Matt, I wholeheartedly agree. I think when you look at that division, Atlanta's in the mix. People forget about them, but that's a team that is one of the most talented offensive skill groups in the league. It's just that their defense has been so inconsistent in the Dan Quinn era, and it's frustrating for Falcons fans because he's a defensive coach. But they'll be in the mix too. So, listen, Tampa will contend. It's just a matter of can they stay healthy, and what does New Orleans do in terms of staying healthy, because they've also got an old quarterback. So I think it's going to be a neck-and-neck race all season between those two. I just think the Saints are a tick better, and I think that's going to be the difference.
Now, am I crazy, Doc, for thinking that maybe we've overrated the Saints the last few years? You know, are they they've been a regular season paper tiger, and they get into the playoffs, and they've been, you know, to me, nothing but a disappointment.
They've also been screwed a couple times, including the last two years.
Boo-hoo.
What do you mean, boo-hoo? They got absolutely screwed the past 2 years.
Okay, all right, so they got screwed in the NFC Championship game. What did they do? They turned it over and lost the game all by themselves. All right, here's my question to you, though, Doc. Like, are we looking at the Saints in the last few years saying, all right, this has been a 12-13 win team the last few years. You know, we're just assuming that they're going to be there again. I mean, do you still think that they have that talent on that team? Drew Brees is a year older. Like, I don't know. To me, they strike me as a team that, you know, that maybe could disappoint a little bit this year, but it doesn't sound like you're on that same page.
I'm not, because I'll tell you why. I think when you look at the composition of their roster, they're a pretty young football team. I think a lot of times what happens in the NFL is you gauge a team and their potential success based on the quarterback and their years of service and their age. Obviously, we know he's on the other side of 40. He's been in the league for a long time, future Hall of Famer, all that good stuff. But when you look at the rest of this roster, Mickey Loomis, their general manager, has done a tremendous job of drafting well and turning the roster over, and that's been the key for them. So, yeah, you've got Drew Brees at 41 years old, but the rest of that team is relatively young, and they're entering their primes. And I think that's why this is a team, in my opinion, that is a contender. Because when you look at the landscape in the NFC, the NFC is wide open. I mean, they're in the conversation. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Dallas, Philadelphia, San Francisco, they're all in the mix. And so ultimately what it's going to come down to is coaching and talent. And the reason why you have to like the New Orleans Saints in terms of being a contender is Sean Payton's one of the best offensive coaches in the game. You still have Drew Brees, and you have a talented and deep roster. And I think that's the difference here. That's why I think they're at the top of the food chain in the NFC versus being a team that's trying to figure out where they fit into that landscape.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. On the Progressive guest line, joining the diehards, Anthony Pepe, Matt McCarthy from 98.5, the Sports Hub here on SB Nation Radio, is John Serenitas, Dr. Football. I love how, Matt, you say Drew Brees is a year older. Doc, you say he's, you know, 41 years old, but that doesn't apply to Tom Brady. He's like, apparently he's not a year older.
Just ask
him
a question.
No,
he's not over 41.
No, hey, you know what? Tom Brady, and listen, I'll be one of the first people to admit there's regression there. I've been saying it now for 2 years. I know people around here didn't want to hear it, but there's clear regression there. He's starting to play to his age. But again, I still think that if he's healthy and they can cater that offense to his skill set, I still think statistically he can be a top 10 quarterback in this league. Will he get there? We'll see. He's certainly going to have better pieces to work with in Tampa this year than he's really had in New England the last 3 years. So I think that's going to make a big difference.
Hey, Doc, we got about 2 minutes left here. I want to wrap things up. And obviously with today's world, today's landscape, the talk is still about Colin Kaepernick. I'm curious to get your take on him. I remember watching him come out of Nevada running that pistol offense, and he was absolutely filthy watching him run that offense. He comes into the league, and he has early success and gets them, the San Francisco 49ers, far in the playoffs, the championship game, if you will. What made him so successful for a short period of time?
Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens now.
Okay, fair enough.
And I'm not taking anything away from Kaepernick or even Lamar Jackson, but the system was a big reason for his success. He transitioned from a similar offense in college to one in the NFL, and it was a seamless transition for him, and it was an offense that took advantage of his athleticism and his plus arm strength. But here's the thing, and you're going to see this with Lamar Jackson. As time goes on, however, you run less, you throw more, and you need to develop into more of a pocket pro-style passer. And when Kaepernick had to make that transition, he struggled. Sure, he protected the football. Sure, he didn't hurt his teams per se, But he needed to quarterback teams that were really good across the board. They could run the football and play good defense. If there was any weaknesses with those teams, like we saw the last 2 years for him in San Francisco, he wasn't good enough to carry them. So when it was time for him to transition to a pocket passer, he struggled, and that's one of the reasons why I don't think it's a guarantee that someone's going to sign him now. And if they do, who knows what you're going to get after 3 years.
Hey, Doc, before we let you go, we are huge in Topeka, Kansas, so everyone wants to know what you're doing this weekend.
What am I doing this weekend? Let's see. Not a whole lot, to be honest with you. I've got some stuff to do around the house, some grading. I wrapped up a real estate deal today. Well, semi-wrapped it up.
Are you a handyman?
Am I a handyman? No, God, no. I'm as white-collar as it gets. Are you kidding me? I can barely use a screwdriver.
Hey, Doc, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next Thursday, okay, pal?
Good stuff.
All righty, guys. Thanks. Right, have a good weekend.
There he is, our good friend, our pal, John Serenitas, Dr. Football. Quick TO. We'll come back. He is Matt McCarthy from 98.5, the Sports Hub. I'm Anthony Pepe. You are listening to SB Nation Radio.
This is the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hi, my friend is Matt McCarthy from 98.5, the Sports Hub. He was on Comcast and Felger and Maz today, that show that has like the 19 share rating, huge in Boston, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, now, again, that's the minor leagues. Now he's in the big leagues. He's Anthony Pepe in the
Pepe compound is the big leagues. You know, I it's great that we're not on television. I'll just say that because you and I not made for television.
No, I certainly am not.
I wish people, though, could see the Pepe compound and see our O'Reilly Auto Parts studio tonight, because this is – you want to talk about the ultimate man cave? Holy crap, this is every sports fan's dream
We're going to do is we're going to actually, you know, during the summer, we're going to broadcast poolside. We're going to go under that tent I have out there, and we're going to bring this little equipment machine, little ditty
and
out there.
People think we're joking. We're not.
We're going to sit by the pool and do a national radio broadcast. Felger and Maz don't freaking do that, duh.
No, of course not.
1 hour down, 1 hour to go. Rick Horo, Marty Moore, Bob Pockris, talking NASCAR is next hour. Keep it here.